Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Welcome to the Inside Lacrosse Podcasts. I'm Matt Kinnear, and today we have a special interview talking with Nazareth coach Rob Randall, the chair of the NCAA Men's Lacrosse Rules Committee. Late last week, the Rules Committee proposed a shot clock in men's lacrosse. The mechanics are 60 seconds to shoot, following a 20-second clearing count to the midline. The clock resets to 60 seconds upon an offensive rebound. Also proposed by the Rules Committee was the reinstitution of the dive, which was outlawed from the game in the summer of 1998. The committee also shrank the substitution box and made recommendations in regard to sportsmanship. Randall is no stranger to these settings. Entering his 19th season at the helm of the Golden Flyers, he served on the Rules Committee from 2003 to 2008, as well as the All-America and National Rankings Committees. In addition, he's on the IMLCA Executive Board and the NCAA Championships Committee. For more, check out the IL Staff Reactions podcast with myself, Terry Foy, Quint Kesnick, and Mark Dixon. And stay tuned for a podcast sharing some dissenting opinions on the shot clock from coaches. Enjoy. Nazareth coach Rob Randall, who was the chair for the NCAA Rules Committee that just met this past week and really made some bold steps for college lacrosse. Coach, how have these past 4 days been since you guys announced these rules?
It's been really interesting, but really positive. I've gotten a lot of feedback from a lot of coaches at all different levels that feel pretty strongly about, you know, the hopefully the positive results that we'll see from some of these changes.
Obviously, passing a standardized shot clock in men's lacrosse is something new and something that's been kind of anticipated for many years. I think the biggest source of maybe contention or disagreement that's come out since then is just, as everyone expected, how the shot clock would be put in. You guys opted for 20 seconds to clear, then a 60-second shot clock after passing the midline. Can you just talk a little bit about maybe why that, as opposed to some of the other ones that were thrown out there as a 90-second on possession, a 75 on possession?
Yeah, we just felt like the 80 seconds was a pretty good number to start with. We went back and forth on so many different times, and everybody had a different opinion on it, and they're all pretty good. But we just felt like 20 to get it over the midfield line would give teams that really want to ride an opportunity to ride hard and maybe take advantage of certain situations in the riding game. You know, so we felt like 20 was a good number to get the ball over the midfield line. We felt like the midfield line was a good timeline for us. Because it isn't, you know, we already have it with the over and back rule, and it's a little bit easier to administer, I think, from the sideline with whoever's, you know, going to be turning on the shot clock. It's a little bit easier to see the midfield line as opposed to the restraining line. With that being said, we felt like the 60 seconds was an adequate amount of time for a team to get their guys on the field, set up their offense, and work for a good shot. The question has come up since then about the 60-second reset and how we kind of came about with that. And quite frankly, there was a lot of us on the committee that were concerned and don't know if shot clocks could be reset to a different number. And that's, you know, we felt like a 60-second number was a pretty good number. It's not 90. It's not 30 or 45, you know, where the shot clock is now, where the timer on clock is now. So we just felt like a 60-second shot and a 60-second reset would be best for the game at this point.
You know, certainly from an outsider's perspective, it almost felt inevitable that a shot clock was going to be instituted this time around. How much discussion was there just kind of for that first part of the equation? Will there be a shot clock or not? Versus how much was there discussion about what were the mechanics of the shot clock be?
There was a lot of discussion about everything. And you know, it seemed like everybody was in support of some form of an all possession shot clock, an every possession shot clock. And quite frankly, Matt, we worked off of the surveys that all the coaches had the opportunity to fill out and submit. And so it was a strong mandate going into the meetings that there was a lot of support for an every possession shot clock.
If you could just try to maybe place the listeners a little bit in that room of just how this discussion goes. You were commenting before we hit record that, you know, sometimes it, you know, you get onto one part that you didn't expect was going to take several hours, but you go into these tangents. But how did the committee interact with each other and just the ideas that you guys bounced off each other?
Well, first of all, there's a tremendous amount of respect with every discussion that we had. And, you know, that's something that we certainly focus on. And while the sportsmanship piece is a valuable piece, we all still do have our different opinions and kind of see things through a little bit different lens based on who we're coaching and where we're coaching and where we're, you know, what our background is. But it was great because we had Division I coaches on the committee with Lars and John Basti, and we had Division II coaches on the committee and Division III. And honestly, the most important piece I felt was that we have a guy like Willie Scroggs, who's been doing this for years as our editor and or our secretary, and also Kai Halpin was able to really give different views from the NCAA level. And then to have Tom Abbott and Brian Abbott, you know, from the official side, it really rounded out the room, and it just brought out all sorts of different types of situations based on the different ideas that were floating around the room.
It really is, you know, coming up for a consensus for several different interests, but, you know, obviously the overarching interest for everyone in the room and everyone you talk to and everyone who's filling out surveys is for the good of the game. One of the things that seems to me that could be difficult is, and maybe it's just an outsider's perspective, but it seems like there might be a gap between what some of the higher level Division I and Division III coaches think versus what some of the maybe, you know, the lower tiered schools, for lack of a better word, perceive with the shot clock. Did you see that pan out in some of the survey data, and just how did you reconcile those opinions?
We really didn't. You know, everything that we changed was a strong mandate based on the response in the survey. So we really just worked off of, you know, what a lot of the coaches felt strong about, based on what we saw in these surveys. So we, you know, the things that we came up with really shouldn't be too surprising to too many coaches. And yeah, everybody's going to have a different opinion of it for sure. But I don't, you know, and we don't really know exactly who filled out the surveys. We just know the number of participants of those surveys from each division. And then, you know, at the commissioner level, the officials level, so we can't really distinguish, you know, exactly who filled out the surveys. I don't think it should have too much of a difference. And everybody's going to play their own way. That's just what we all do. But I don't think that it should have that much of an influence, based on your personnel. That's just my own personal opinion of it. You know, I think it could in some ways help teams that aren't as talented as some of the higher level teams.
Putting on your coach hat a little bit, you're not too far off from fall ball. Have you decided you're going to make any substantial changes to maybe what you do this fall in preparation for these new rules and kind of teaching your team and figuring out what you guys are going to do as a staff?
You know, other than really just trying to get our guys in great shape and try to play as fast as we can, you have to remember the every possession shot clock was not the point of it wasn't necessarily to speed up the game. It was more so to get more consistency from the official standpoint. And our biggest concern as a committee and many of the coaches that responded to these surveys was that the timer on situation was adjudicated different in the first quarter than it was in the fourth quarter. And, you know, certainly having the shot clock can hopefully resolve a lot of that. We went round and round in the room about the shot clock and what are teams going to do. And, you know, will teams jump into a zone defense? Well, that's certainly an option. There's a lot of teams that have a zone defense philosophy right now that are doing it. Wesleyan being one that, you know, they just won a national championship. So if you want to play zone, you certainly can play zone. Is it easier to jump into a zone now with a shot clock? Maybe it is. I don't know. Time will tell. But Bill Tierney brought up a great point that, you know, with a shot clock, why do you have to jump into a zone? Why not get out and pressure a little bit more? If they only have 40 seconds of offense, why wouldn't you do just the opposite of playing zone and get out and pressure and, you know, let your poles play a little bit more and be a little bit more aggressive and maybe, you know, we bring back a takeaway style defenseman that I think we've lost over the years.
You know, I think anyone who says they know exactly how it's going to play out is a little bit foolish. You know, obviously we're going to see what happens on the field. One of the things that was really interesting was the, you know, reinstating of the dive, which became somewhat of a rallying call for some fans who were really disgruntled that it, you know, left the game in the late 90s there. What was some of the reasoning behind that?
Well, that came up very early in the meetings. And quite honestly, Matt, I didn't think that it was going to pass. I really didn't. I didn't think there was a lot of support for it. As the meetings went on and the discussions carried on, it seemed to gain a little bit more traction. And again, going back to the surveys, there was a strong feeling amongst the coaches to really take a good look at the dive. You know, about 66 or 67% of all the coaches in Division 1, 2, and 3 felt strongly that we should have some sort of a dive back in the game. So, and Division 1 was certainly the highest at about 71%. Division 2 was at 85%, Division 1 was at 71%, and Division 3 was at 58% to support the dive. We went round and round in all sorts of different situations, and really I thought it was going to die. I didn't think it was going to pass, at least initially, and then we talked and talked and had a lot of different discussions about it. And some coaches in the room felt strongly that we shouldn't have it. But by the end of our discussions, we just felt like it was a great play. We saw so many great plays on film. Part of the process of these meetings is watching a lot of film. And there was games that we've seen in the not too distant past where there was some great, great lacrosse plays that were not allowed to be goals in the last couple of years. And then, you know, you look at the pro league, and I know we can say that, you know, we're not the pro league, but you look at what Joel White did this past weekend with a goal. You look at what Jordan Wolf has done around the goal and many other pros. It's an awesome play. It really is. And it's going to be a challenge for the officials to adjudicate it with, you know, contact with the goalie and, you know, what do we do about the goaltender? All that stuff is discussed. But at the end of the day, after voting, we felt like it was too good of a play to continue to keep out of our game.
And it's one that I've seen coaches already figuring out what they can do to incorporate the dive in a way to, you know, maybe bust a zone if there is one and use it within their offense. And coach, one of the things that I'm just been curious about with this is how much of a point of discussion was, you know, television and what the casual fan who's watching the game on ESPNU, you know, there's a familiarity with the shot clock from other sports. that maybe they didn't have prior to this, you know, this rule cycle, in terms of maybe it was a little bit confusing, you know, that a shot clock went on at the ref's discretion. Just how much was a point of discussion was that?
Well, I think the overall feeling amongst not only the committee but all the coaches that filled out the surveys was that the game was in a pretty good place. We didn't have to change a lot. However, it was very confusing from a coaching standpoint, from an official standpoint, I think, and certainly from a spectator standpoint, the average fan, as to why a clock was going on at a certain time, after a certain short possession in the fourth quarter, where it wasn't going on in the first quarter. I also think that the situation with the dives now, and you know, was it a push before we brought this dive back in last year and in years past? Was it a push? Was it a penalty? Did he leave his feet on his own volition? It was very confusing to somebody standing on the sidelines coaching their guys, you know, and then a goal would score, but a push would be called. So the goal would come off the board, and then you'd get the ball back in an extra man situation. It just didn't seem like the right play to have, you know. So that's kind of was the focus of the discussions.
Were there any topics that came up that we don't really see in kind of the rules committee's release, but were maybe some heavy points of discussion, and specifically the face-offs? There's obviously some talk about the face-offs as how it relates to the shot clock, but was there any significant discussion about them throughout the meeting?
We talked at length about the face-off. A lot of coaches felt strongly that the face-off, you know, has improved. It's gotten better over the last few years. I think the officials have administered it better. You know, personally, I have my own concerns about the face-off, but after going round and round on it for, you know, a few hours, we decided that the face-off should just remain the same with a couple, you know, points of emphasis from an official standpoint. But we spoke about, you know, I know that the focus is the shot clock and the dive, but you know, you throw in the sub box, and we talked about picks. We talked about, you know, communication with officials. We talked about timeouts. We talked about checks and illegal checks and legal checks and physical contact, cross checks, holds. We talked about replay. We talked about the end of the game behavior. We talked about the crossover, how teams have to, you know, typically have gone to their goalies that are at the opposite end of the field. We discussed that. We talked about plays without your stick in your hand. I'm just rattling off a lot of things and I'm just scratching the surface here.
Sounds pretty exhausting more than anything. Coach, I know you've been on this committee before. You've been on several other committees, not necessarily related to rules, but related to advancing the game and kind of governing the game. How does this experience maybe compare to some of the prior years where you've served with in relation to rules?
Yeah, great question. I think this was my seventh overall rules meeting. I was on the rules committee back in the mid of 2003 to 2008 or something like that. And, you know, during that time, we changed the dimension of the stick, and quite honestly, and I can't remember every single meeting that we've had, but this meeting I thought was I don't want to say contentious, but there was certainly a lot of really strong opinions and a lot of really valuable thoughts that went into everything. And, you know, so with the dive and with the shot clock, there was a lot of really different thoughts on that. And I just, I don't remember having meetings where we went so in depth with all the different types of discussions that we had. So it was really, really productive from that regard.
My last question, Coach, is, you know, there's a lot of evidence within the sport of lacrosse about the shot clock and how it should be utilized. You have women's lacrosse, and it seems it's been successful for women's lacrosse using the shot clock for the possession clock, as they call it, for the past 2 years. We have Major League Lacrosse. You know, we have some different rules not using a shot clock internationally, and we just saw those on a kind of a big stage. How were you able to coalesce all of those, you know, not just from within the men's lacrosse coaches and stakeholders, but also with the stakeholders within the sport of lacrosse that play under different sets of rules?
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, we did look at all different types of situations, and it is a challenge from an official standpoint to officiate at all these different levels. You know, we looked at the girls' game, and, you know, I had a daughter that played 4 years of lacrosse in college, and my own personal feeling is the women's shot clock at 90 seconds made the women's game longer. I think we're apprehensive about going with a strict 90-second clock because it didn't put as much pressure on the clearing game. We felt like there would be a little bit more action in the riding game, a little bit more action in the offensive end if we could shorten that up a little bit. We looked at all sorts of different situations, and we just felt like at the end of the day, the best situation was to have that 60-second shot clock. And, you know, quite frankly, when you're sitting around the table and you're having these meetings and people are bringing up these different ideas, and they're all great ideas, and they're, like I said, that everybody's seeing it a little bit different. We come out of the meetings and we think that that's a great idea. And we vote, you know, positively on it. And then, you know, you get out to the field and you realize that, you know what, something needs to be tweaked here. This isn't quite the way we had hoped it was going to go. And that's happened every rules committee that I've been on, and every meeting that we've come out of. We've had to tweak, make some small changes to things. And, you know, I don't think that we would be opposed to that if we felt strongly as a group of coaches that something needs to be altered in a slight way. So I think we're very open to that as well. Hopefully I answered that question.
Now, that was great, Coach. I appreciate your time, and you hit on this earlier, but, you know, whatever anyone's opinion is on the shot clock, on the dive, on any of these things, you know, I feel the conversation for the most part has been respectful, has been with the growth and the strength of the game in mind. So I appreciate all your insight.
Yeah, I think, you know, everything's been really positive to this point, and hopefully it continues on that path, and certainly appreciate you having me on, Matt.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.